Good morning. Hope you're having a fine sunny morning. Welcome back to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I, as usual, am your host from the Dayton Daily News, Ron Rollins, and I'm in the studio with a returning guest, an old friend and fellow Dayton Rotarian, Dennis Grant, the Executive Director of United Rehabilitation Services. How you doing?
Great. Hello, Ron. Thanks for having me down.
I'm happy you're back. We missed you last year. I think you were here. We decided before we switched on the mics a couple years ago. You're here to talk about the event that you're back with us again this Sunday. This is the 12th, upcoming soon, the 12th annual Rubber Duck Regatta, right?
That's right.
Which helps adults and children with disabilities who are working at URS, right?
Yeah, United Rehabilitation Services started this event 12 years ago. And, you know, I came here to Dayton from Cincinnati, and they have the largest rubber duck race in the world.
Well, they have a bigger river, too.
Yeah, they got a lot bigger.
That's
over 100,000
ducks. That's not our fault. Yeah,
well, we're doing 20,000 ducks, and we hope to get to 25,000 this year because every one of those ducks means $5 going to help kids and adults with disabilities right here in our community.
Now, people who know you around town are used to seeing you hawking ducks, like, shortly in the month before the event. So let's take a step back a little bit. Let's tell people what URS is and what it does. What's the service
you
provide?
Sure. Well, United Rehab Services started 59 years ago. We're getting ready to celebrate our 60th anniversary next year.
That's cool.
And that's amazing because we started as a small group of families who had gotten together to support one another with babysitting and just kind of social gatherings. And we've grown from a handful of people, 15 or 20 people, to now serving almost 3,000 children and adults with disabilities every year and impacting not just their lives, but those of their families.
And what kind of services do you offer? I mean, it's a vast range of services that you provide.
Yeah, it truly is. And, you know, people tell you you should have a 30-second elevator speech, and I can't do it.
Well, we have 30 minutes, so that's okay.
Well, you know, the great thing is really we have expanded the continuum of care to include just about anything that a family or a child or adult with disability might need. And that includes everything from the only child care center in the area where we have RNs and LPNs on site. So those kids can get really important nursing services throughout the day. And as a result, we're able to serve medically fragile children. But you know what's amazing about it is we also provide occupational, physical, and speech therapy right there at our center. So while those kids are there during the day, they get all the therapies they need, they get the nursing services they need, and there's nothing those parents have to worry about. And what's really great is we also were able to serve the typically developing siblings of kids with disabilities. So the family has one place to drop off all their kids,
one
place to pick up. You know, and our goal really was to make sure that we're providing high-quality early childhood education for all children, whether they have a disability or not. You know, in this city, we hear all the time about Learn to Earn and Ready, Set, Soar, and, you know, Mayor Whaley's emphasis on City of Learners, and, you know, even the United Way's focus on education as a primary emphasis area. And we do that. And we do that by making sure that we are part of the Step Up to Quality program. All our staff are fully degreed. We have the best curriculum and the creative curriculum we're using to make sure that we're implementing great educational services and not just daycare, not babysitting. And so that all kids are ready to learn and ready to start kindergarten in a typical school in a typical classroom.
And while it's not babysitting, though, just again to step back a little further and be clear, the families using your service, this provides like a day place for the child with disabilities and the children who don't perhaps have disabilities, so that mom and dad can actually go to work, make a living to support the family and not have to worry about where those children are during the day.
Exactly.
That they're being well taken care of. Okay.
And that's the important thing, is we're open from 6:30 in the morning till 6:15 in the evening for families.
Long day for you guys.
Well, and it provides a great opportunity for those families, as you said, to work, to go to school. So we're not just supporting education, we're also supporting income. You know, when I started there 14 years ago, we didn't serve infants. So we added an infant care center, we expanded our hours. We basically looked at what are those families needing that we are not providing yet, and we added an in-home respite service. So for a family who needs a break and they need a qualified staff person who can care for their child, we can send somebody into their home. We can give them a little bit of a break if they have a funeral to go to, a medical procedure they need, or if they just need date night, you know. And because families who have kids with disabilities oftentimes really struggle because of the emotional challenges, the financial challenges, we added a parent support group in the evening. So we're able to provide.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and it's great because we provide free dinner for the entire family and free child care. So there's no reason that they can't bring the whole family down, all the kids, not just the ones we serve,
right.
and they don't even have to come to our center necessarily.
Sure.
We still want to support those families.
So I imagine this is a huge, I mean, what you're doing is helping provide a service, or you're providing a service that basically helps relieve some of the enormous pressure that a family is placed under by being put in the position to have to care for a loved one who has a disability.
Exactly.
Which really most people, if you're not dealing with that, you don't think about it.
No, and most people have no idea the depth of
and the amount of stuff that's required.
Stress. Yeah. Well, you know, you see an 85% divorce rate for families like this.
And, oh, I had no idea. I guess I would have guessed it was high, but I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Anything we can do to support them to stay together,
sure.
we want to do. But also, beyond that, if they're already a single parent, and sometimes we have grandparents now raising these kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, we want to support them as well. And that's where all these services are kind of integrated.
Mm-hmm. Is there any limit on the range of disabilities we're talking about? We're talking about physical, emotional, mental. I mean, just what is the range of situations that you find yourself dealing with in terms of the actual clients?
Well, one of the things that we really looked at when we looked at our mission and vision statement, and we decided to separate from United Cerebral Palsy, a national organization.
Right.
We became
okay.
a purely local 501c3 charity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't just serve people with cerebral palsy. And I think we were concerned that...
When did that split happen? That was
16 years ago.
Okay.
And
so right before you got here, then.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it was a real identity crisis that we went through because people knew us as UCP.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere I went, I had to keep educating people about who is URS? What is that? What does
right.
it even stand for? But hopefully, you know, people are now more familiar with us. But... You know, we serve all disabilities, not just cerebral palsy. And mm-hmm. although we have an adult daycare program and an adult vocational training program, where many of those adults who have been with us, a third of them have been with us for more than 30 years.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal. We have two adult clients who have been coming to us literally since we opened the door 59 years ago.
Wow.
So we have a long legacy of serving people throughout their lifetimes. But we serve people with all types of disabilities, and it's not just even developmental disabilities. It can be Down syndrome or muscular mm-hmm. dystrophy or whatever, but it can also be muscular sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
It can be
mm-hmm.
Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. It can be a spinal cord injury or a brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a child or an adult of any age. When I came to URS in 2001, we were serving two seniors, and we now have 59 seniors that we work with.
How many clients altogether at one time?
On any given day, we're probably serving about 400 to 425 people.
I didn't realize your building is big, but I didn't realize it was big enough to accommodate that large of a group each day.
We have 115 adults on a typical day.
Wow.
In terms of, we added a second shift. We ran out of capacity. We've had a waiting list for most of our programs for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran out of capacity about 4 years ago, so we added a second shift for adults
mm-hmm.
with disabilities who want to learn vocational skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that allowed us to expand capacity without adding another building.
Mm-hmm.
But we also provide in-home health care services. We provide the in-home respite services and our community employment staff, which we have 17 people out in the community helping young people. Right now we have 52 high school students that are going through a work training program mm-hmm. during the summer
mm-hmm.
while they're off school. And our staff are with them, giving them guidance and helping to train them. So we're actually serving 9 different counties around the area.
Okay.
And we're out in the community an awful lot.
Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, I was joking about you and the Yellow Ducks, but I mean, you are out in the community an awful lot. I mean, I bump into you like twice a week somewhere. Right? And you're always kind of pushing and promoting recognition of the mission and of the place. And remind people where you're located, by the way.
Well, we're actually located at 4710 Old Troy Pike. We're mm-hmm. on the northeast corner of Old Troy and Needmore.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened a new adult day program in Springfield, Ohio on Durr Road about 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
I think I missed that. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it's a brand new center. Actually, Dayton Daily News covered it.
Well, I should have known then. I don't, you know, that happens to me all the time. I'll say something like, well, I didn't know that. And somebody will say, well, you covered it. But I don't get to see every story in the newspaper.
It was on page 13.
Okay.
But no, you know.
Okay, fine.
It's
You're
great.
Not welcome back, Dennis.
But, you know, we love the fact that, you know, the Clark County and the city of Springfield invited us to come up and open a center to provide opportunities for people to exercise their personal choice and
sure.
the type of services.
Well, it's
they
a vote of confidence in the organization, too.
Well, and we were already serving, probably about 100 to 120 people from Clark County already.
Now they don't have to commute.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, we have so many specialized services like our child care program. We have the, in our pediatric therapy program, OTPT speech. Mm-hmm. We're serving almost 1,000 outpatients a year.
Wow.
90 to 95% of those are kids. We have the only pediatric aquatic therapy program in the area. We have something called the spider cage or the universal exercise unit, one of three in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We specialize in things for people with complex conditions like augmentative communication devices, which are computers with synthesized speech for someone who can't vocalize or speak
the
for
Hawking
himself.
Type thing, yeah.
Yeah, and it's incredible for somebody who has cerebral palsy or somebody in the later stages of Lou Gehrig's disease to still be able to express their wants
and articulate,
needs to,
yeah.
to say, I love you.
Wow.
For kids with autism to use these devices, you know, kids with autism really struggle with that social interaction piece, mm-hmm. and some of them are really pretty much nonverbal. And for them to have a device that allows them to say what they want and to choose things.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you're talking about a very vast and complicated stew of syndromes, disabilities, conditions, and situations. The simple question, how do you keep track of it all? But I guess I'm wondering, what's involved with knowing what and how to provide for each of these different kinds of conditions? I mean, it sounds like, is there like a vast clinical staff behind all this? Or and not everybody's treated the same way, obviously. So talk about the infrastructure a little bit, the staff infrastructure.
Yeah, and it's much as I mentioned before, the issue of personal choice and individualization. Each person that we serve has an individual service plan or like an individual education plan like the schools would write,
mm-hmm.
where we identify what their needs and issues are. We provide extensive staff training and support for all of the employees that we have. We have 112 employees.
That doesn't sound like enough.
Well, I'm sure some of them would agree with you.
I'm sure they would. Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of the things where we maintain ratios where, you know, if you look at our school-age latchkey program mm-hmm. for child care, we're the only people serving kids with disabilities really before and after school and all day during summer, spring break, Christmas break for kids all the way up to age 17.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we're really providing intensive services. State says I can have one staff for every 18 kids.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one for every 4 or 5.
Wow.
Because these are kids who may be 15 or 16 or 17
right.
who still can't feed or toilet themselves and
right.
really need those extra supports. So we've got a lot of hands on deck. But unfortunately, we get paid like a normal child care center in most cases. So, you know, you look at the fact that we have to have nurses 3 or 4 times the normal staff, all mm-hmm. that. And yet we get paid like anybody else.
Is that how is insurance, Medicare, Medicaid usually how you are
well,
reimbursed, or how does that work?
It's funny. We've probably got about 80 different revenue streams. If you look at child care, some of it is privately paid, just mm-hmm. like a parent, like take any of your kids, like I did,
right,
to a child care center.
Sure.
Many of the folks we serve are lower income, so mm-hmm. they have subsidies through the Department of Job and Family Services.
Okay.
We have Medicaid waivers that will pay for a child to come. We get subsidies through the Human Service Levy in Montgomery mm-hmm. County for mm-hmm. residents of Montgomery County
right.
That help cover some of the nursing services. And we have a variety of other resources as well that we tap into through the County Board of Developmental Disabilities and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our therapy program, we bill Anthem and United Healthcare and Medical Mutual and mm-hmm. everybody else mm-hmm. like any other therapy program would.
Mm-hmm.
But we also accept payments through the Bureau for Children with Medical Handicaps mm-hmm. and a lot of Medicaid. CareSource is one of our great partners locally, and you know, we work very closely to make sure that these families know of every resource available to cover those costs. And
right.
many of the people have not just one insurance, they may have 2 or 3.
Right, supplemental stuff, yeah.
It creates a nightmare for us
sure.
because oftentimes we get a lot of denials. Insurance companies don't want to pay, you know, they're used to paying for somebody with a broken arm and needs
right.
therapy for 6 weeks.
Right.
They're not interested in paying for therapy for 16 years.
Right.
But for some of these kids, that's what we're talking about.
Well, and then you do private fundraising as well.
Oh, well, you know, and that's
the
thing.
Back to the dogs, right.
Yeah. Yeah, we have this huge funding gap between what it costs to provide these services mm-hmm. and what we actually get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're constantly trying to figure out how do you cover that gap every day to
right.
continue to meet the needs and maintain the quality
sure.
of what we do. And the United Way is very helpful, the Montgomery County Human Services Levy. We probably write 20 or 30 grants a year and try to raise $100,000 or more, $200,000 in grant money.
Right, right.
But the bulk of it is raising $500,000 to $700,000 a year in fundraising. And the Rubber Duck Regatta is our biggest fundraiser every year.
Which we'll talk about in a second after we remind people what they're listening to. If you are just tuning in, this is Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host, Ron Rollins. I'm here with Dennis Grant, an old friend who is the executive director at United Rehabilitation Services in North Dayton. And talking about the Rubber Duck Regatta. I love the name of that thing. Which is your biggest fundraiser during the year, right?
That is right.
So talk about the regatta. How does it work?
Well, you know, it's pretty simple. You know, we've got a lot of great sponsors who are helping us out, but Kroger is one of the sponsors who's been with us for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Actually, this year we have a presenting sponsor, which is Synchrony Financial.
Oh, okay.
It used to be GE Capital, GE Money.
Oh, yeah,
Money.
Right, right. Oh, I forgot they changed their name.
Yeah.
Something else we wrote about that I just, yeah, right.
So. An incredible place.
Right.
And, you know, they have stepped up to be the presenting sponsor this year.
That's cool.
But, you know, all of our sponsors help to cover the costs. So what we do is we have people who adopt a duck, a $5 duck, and six for $25.
Who knew you could place a value on a duck?
Well, you know, it's great.
I love ducks. Yeah.
It's a wonderful event because it's fun. It's family friendly.
Sure.
We do have a lot of fun with it. But
so what do you actually physically do with the ducks?
Well, we take a giant dumpster with 20,000 little rubber ducks, and we go to the pedestrian bridge, and thanks to our friends over at Orbit, Erectors and Cranes, they come out there and they tip that sucker upside down and pour 20,000 rubber ducks into the river.
Which is quite a sight.
Float down. Yeah, if you haven't seen it's absolutely incredible. So we encourage everybody to come down September the 19th.
Now, does somebody win the regatta? Are the ducks tagged or something?
Well, every duck has a little number on the bottom of it.
So literally the first duck that floats to the finish line, what does that person win?
Well, first place this year is a Norris Lake houseboat rental.
Oh, my goodness.
So you get a 7-bedroom, the Cadillac of houseboats to go out on Norris Lake for either 4 or 5 days, depending on whether you choose to tie it over a weekend or not.
Wow.
But it is a fabulous prize.
Now, Norris Lake, they have real ducks.
They do. They do.
But, you know, kind of with feathers. Yeah.
This is a great prize for people, and they love it. But we have a $1,000 gift card at Kroger's. We've got a $1,000 gift card at Watson's. We've got a $500 gift card at James Free Jewelers.
That's great.
You know, we've got laptop computers, all kinds of great prizes. But
so you do get 20,000 ducks.
We do.
Wow.
And we're hoping to get to 25,000 this year.
And so they started this event right before or after you got here? You said it was 12
right
years
after.
Ago?
Okay. You know, I came here from Cincinnati, and I'd seen that race down there a few years, and I said, all we talk about is the Five Rivers and Dayton, and the bridges are everywhere.
Why not dump a bunch of plastic ducks?
Let's do it here.
Yeah. Well, do you string like a thing across the river to catch them all, or is the cleanup a nightmare on this? Or
no, you know, it's really worked out well. We have a group from the Ohio River. They have booms that they use on the Ohio River to catch oil spills.
Oh.
So they come up here and create like a channel and funnel all the ducks down to this big tubular trap at the end. So they go in one at a time, they come out one at a time, we look up the number and tell the person who won.
Do the ducks get reused every year?
Yeah, we rent them. I don't have room to store them, unfortunately. They're rental ducks.
And, I'm so glad I asked that.
Yeah, you know, you can rent a duck. Who knew, right? But yeah, you can rent 20,000, 100,000, however many you want.
Wow.
It's not cheap.
I really don't know what to ask next.
Well, you know, the great thing, again, is, you know, we do have expenses associated with this thing.
Sure.
But we get a lot of great exposure through all the media outlets around here. We want
to
put the word out there.
Cover, yeah.
It is. It's a blast. But our sponsors cover all our expenses up front. So when you adopt a duck for $5 at your local Kroger store, at DaytonDucks.com, you can go to our website. But, you know, DaytonDucks.com is where you want to go. You can adopt online. But every dollar, you know, is going to go towards programs. And, you know, I mentioned before, we've quadrupled the number of people we serve in the last 14 years since I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
But we've kept our administrative staff. Actually, we've reduced our administrative staff and kept our fundraising staff at the same level. And so our overhead's gone from over 32% down to below 9%.
Wow, that's a lot.
Under 10% the last 3 years.
So Charity Navigator loves you guys.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's the thing is we won the Better Business Bureau Eclipse Integrity Award. Mm-hmm. And it's partly because we know we depend upon the kindness of strangers every day to support these events.
Sure.
And you better believe that we're going to use your money wisely and well, and it's going to go to the services you count on every day.
So how much opportunity do you, I mean, as the guy in charge who is running the show, how much opportunity do you get to actually interact with your guests and clients during a typical day or week? Enough or do you?
Well, never enough.
Right.
You know, I spend way too much time, as you said, I spend a lot of time in the community.
Right,
I'm very involved on different boards and things myself. And really, I spend way too much time sitting at a computer and in my office or meetings. But the nice thing is I probably get about an hour a day where I'm out there in the hallways and I get to see these little mini miracles that happen with the child who I saw the other day that I didn't know how tall she was because she's been in a wheelchair so long, but she was standing up in the universal exercise unit.
Oh, really?
And I was just struck by, you know, how beautiful she looked and how great and tall she stood.
Oh, that's nice.
That I, you know, never get to see that.
Yeah.
Or you hear the grandma said the first time they've heard their grandchild say, you know, Mom, or I love you.
Right.
You know, when you hear and see those things, or the adult that finally got their first job, or the adult like Peggy, this young woman we worked with for 17 years, who finally moved into her own apartment and got a job out in the community, putting together pizza boxes and things.
Wow, wow.
And now we don't see her anymore, but that's what it's all about, independence and community inclusion.
How much do you interconnect with other are there similar social service agencies that are also doing this kind of work with folks that you interconnect with? Or?
Well, you know, there are a lot of organizations who provide pieces of what we do, but we have probably the most comprehensive continuum, really, because we're serving birth to seniors.
Mm-hmm.
We're serving not only developmental disabilities, but acquired disabilities. Even some of our seniors just have, I mean, really, Alzheimer's is a primary diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're meeting some of their mental health needs, providing counseling services and supports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that adults with disabilities are living much longer now. You know, a lot of these folks, when they were born,
along with everybody else,
No, exactly. Their parents were told they may not live past their 20s and 30s. They're making it to their 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents are now in their 70s and 80s, can't do the lifting they used to do. So we added the in-home care program. You know, we just keep seeing the needs grow.
Right.
And I just love the fact that we're able to provide a really exciting and meaningful experience for all of them. We had a number of area artists who came out and provided.
I missed that
great
event.
I know.
It was
yesterday. Sorry you didn't make it.
I'm sorry, yes.
But, you know, Bing Davis was there and Lois Fortson and, you know, Michael Bashaw has been coming for years. We have a great experience for these people, you know, because as my good friend Andy Snow always says when he comes out and shoots all the video for this, you know, art is transformative, and it truly is something that people with disabilities appreciate as much, if not more, sometimes because it's not something they easily access necessarily.
Well, it's something that they can do without judgment or rules, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you color outside the lines. That's kind of the way to do it, you know.
Yeah. In fact, my wife's rule as an art teacher says no lines.
That's the way I
get rid
that's
of the coloring.
That's the way I prefer it too. Yeah, actually. So, what led you here? I mean, what prepared you for this job? What was the path? You mentioned you did similar work in Cincinnati, but where are you from originally, and how'd you end up here?
Well, you know, I'm a special ed teacher, and my graduate work was in rehabilitation counseling to help people with disabilities. Specifically, I focused on people with brain injuries to help them adjust to their disability and help families adjust to the fact that they have a child with a disability. So,
are you from Dayton area originally?
I'm from Cincinnati.
Okay.
You know,
we'll accept that. Yeah,
I'm not too. I worked my way up, though. I came to Middletown and then here. But, you know, but
that's kind of a progression.
My parents said, what are you going to Toledo next? They don't want to even drive up here from Cincinnati.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Really, they're old. But, you know, it's one of those things where it was a great opportunity for me to see how I could tie together the things I was most passionate about in one organization. And I had never seen anything that provided the kind of comprehensive services that we do every day.
Do other cities in Ohio have something like URS? Or I don't know.
We can't find one.
Really?
We actually had a leadership team from United Cerebral Palsy of Cleveland down not long ago. We benchmarked with other agencies throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does what we do. not for the age ranges, not the in-depth services, not the in-home care, not the child care with nursing. It just doesn't exist.
Is that kind of a product of the size of community that it is? That it's Dayton's just big enough to have this need and have one good large organization who can handle it? Or like in Cleveland, would a city that size, would it be just too large of a metro area for something like this?
No, I think they could do it. But, you know, like I said, we've had a waiting list for our child care center and for our adult day program for over a year. Mm. We're trying to figure out how do we grow to meet that need. Mm. For adults, we added a second shift. We added a center in Springfield. But for our children, you know, the model requires that we have the nurses and the therapists on site to really provide the best practice. And the only way we can do that is to have one contiguous space. So mm-hmm. we're trying to figure out how do we grow to continue to meet the growing need in this community, because the last census report that we read said that there's been a 17% increase in the number of children born with developmental disabilities between the year 2001 and 2012.
Is that because of better monitoring and assessment, or what would cause that?
Well, you know, I think when they look at the number of kids with autism, when I got in the field 30 years ago, right. it was one in every 560, now it's one in every 82.
Right.
Well, that's a diagnostic issue, right. because we now call it the autism spectrum.
But also, there's fewer children that die in childbirth, and so more children live.
More children survive. We've still got over 12% premature birth rate here in Ohio.
Right.
We've got a lot more twins and triplets, multiple births, and many times you'll find in those cases one of them may have some type of developmental delay because mm-hmm. of a lack of oxygen or some birthing
sure.
process issue.
And also, too, this is something that government doesn't really take care of anymore either. I mean, it used to, but doesn't, right?
Well, they're not addressing a lot of those issues up front, you know, and I think that's really where we want to get ahead of the game on this and mm-hmm. try and intervene early. Early intervention is so important for those kids. Especially when we talk about that period of 0 to 3 and 0 to 5 when rapid mm-hmm. brain development is taking mm-hmm. place, it's so critical for us to provide those therapies for those kids, for those other interventions. We partner with Samaritan Behavioral Health, so mm-hmm. we deal with kids with behavior issues, ADHD, autism, mm-hmm. and provide more intensive services a couple days a week as part of our regular program. But, you know, really, when we think about it, the fact that our therapists are able to train the child care staff themselves to implement those therapeutic techniques throughout the days, it allows for almost like a constant intensive home program. Because we spend more waking hours with those kids than their parents do.
Right,
so what an opportunity to see dramatic improvement in those early years.
That's really cool. So we got a few seconds left. Tell people one more time how they can buy a duck.
All right. You can adopt your duck.
Adopt your duck.
At DaytonDucks.com.
Now, will that also link people to your general website so that they can find the range of services and how to reach you?
They can link directly to that or go to ursdayton.org.
Cool. Excellent.
And go to any Kroger store, or you can buy them right at the register. There will be a little placard with coupons.
Cool.
They can swipe at the register.
And this is Saturday, September 29th, right? What time?
September 19th.
September 19th. I'm sorry, that's right.
20,000 ducks hit the water at 3 o'clock. We're part of the Taste of the Miami Valley.
That's
and
cool.
And at 2 o'clock, we have the Quacky Kids Parade.
Excellent.
Which will be a
blast.
Which
you don't want to miss. That's cool. Well, thanks for coming in. We'll get you back in again to talk about ERS. It's always interesting to hear what your work is.
Thanks so much, Ron.
Absolutely. So we've been here with Dennis Grant, the Executive Director of Dayton's United Rehabilitation Services. I'm your host, Ron Rollins. This has been Miami Valley Voices, and we hope you have a great rest of day and that you'll tune back in with us next week. Signing off, and have a great afternoon. Dennis, thanks for coming in.
Bye-bye.